All right, good morning and welcome to the stock market update today from a makeshift studio right here in New York City, where I'm visiting some colleges with my daughter Vivian. And we have a lot to talk about because, I mean, yeah, the Russia-Ukraine war is still going on. The stock indices had their fifth losing week in a row. Big news from China this morning. So, a lot to talk about. And if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Heifcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and every morning we sift through a mountain of news websites, newsletters, and reports, and then we take the most important news and go live right here to share with you what you need to know to as you head into your trading day. And see, if this is your first time here and it might be a little bit overwhelming, don't worry. We have a video special video just for you that I'll link to in the description. That's a great place to get started. So, Mark, in my makeshift studio here in a hotel room, in New York City, but hey, we gotta see what's happening in the markets here. Like, holy cannoli, five losing weeks in a row.
Yeah, the volatility and the indecision and uncertainty in the markets continue. The Dow, with its fifth consecutive week of losses, down 2%. The S&P, I see you have the S&P up now, down 2.9% last week. And then the NASDAQ finishing lower 3.5%.
Right. Okay, well, so we got to talk about the news. I mean, the main news right now is still the Russia-Ukraine war. So what's happening there?
You know, it just doesn't seem like there's any real positive news coming out of the region. And on Friday, risk sentiment even got worse, with Ukraine's top diplomat saying he didn't see progress in negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, where going into the trading session, there was some optimism after Vladimir Putin said that there were certain positive developments in the talks, but really nothing behind that, just a statement there.
Right. And then over the weekend, Russia attacked a training facility, or Ukrainian training facility, just 10 miles away from the Polish border. And this is where everybody got really nervous because, Poland is in the NATO, and an attack on Poland would be an attack on NATO. And then, the NATO would be forced to actually get involved in this conflict, which thus far they have been trying to avoid, because then things get worse. But this was really, really close. So a super nervousness here over the weekend. If you're looking at the NASDAQ in overnight trading, so let me just bring up here a 5-minute chart. We just see how nervous these markets are. Look at this. I mean, a little bit all over the place here. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, just choppy moves, big swings still. We've talked about that. Sometimes the magnitude is hard to see just because we're in these ranges, but bigger swings, nervousness overnight as we kick off the first trading day of the week.
Yeah, this is, again, a 1.6% swing. Now, one thing is really interesting because I was looking at the VIX, and looking at the VIX here on Friday or just last week, so on a daily chart, we see that the VIX was actually going lower, but so was the stock market. So this usually is a sign. The VIX is the fear index, and the VIX is usually moving higher as the market is getting lower. So right now, there seemed to be less fear if you look over the past few days here. But if you compare this to the stock market, then we see that there's no longer this really inverse relationship that we usually see. And that's often indicating that, hey, we might see a bottom here. What do you think about that?
That's a really interesting observation, Marcus, and it is correct. It is correct that we typically see when the VIX is rising, stocks are falling, and vice versa here. And so, with the VIX falling and stocks falling, that is an interesting observation. I did that coffee with Mark where we did a deep dive in the VIX. The one thing to point out is we're still above 30, and if we were looking at two standard deviations of the VIX, we're still outside of 95% of the normal range, right? So we're in that 5% tier, which typically is an extreme and just at these higher levels. So I'd like to see the VIX come down before 30, but but interesting observation for sure.
Yeah, and right now we're trading right around 30 here. So let's see. And I mean, this week there's just a lot going on because in addition to the Russia-Ukraine war, we also have the Fed meeting coming up this week where they're pretty much expected to raise rates by 0.25% from 0.25 to 0.5. But do you see this? I looked at this morning. As of this morning, it's not as certain as it was last week. I mean, last week we saw a certainty of 99.2 or 99.4%. As of this morning, a chance of a rate hike, 95.9. Only, I want to say only 96%, because it's like right now there's a 4% chance priced into the futures that they might not do anything. What do you think about that?
Interesting to see that change, but I would bet a big old box of fillets that that they're going to raise rates. But here's the twist, right? Because there was even a high probability a couple months ago that the Fed would be raising a half point at this meeting, right? And that all changed with Russia invading Ukraine. So that being thrown in the mix, now you have inflation from energy creeping into the transitory discussion. And that's where everybody's wondering what the heck is the Fed going to do, because they need to be aggressive. But at the same time, this war and the higher prices with crude oil and energy can cause an economic slowdown. So the Fed's in a tricky spot, and their wording is going to be very important.
Because this is where traders were looking for hints of how many times are they planning to raise interest rates this year. And yeah, we also have one more inflation number coming out. So the PPI tomorrow, the producer price index. So that's coming out tomorrow. And we already heard last week, the consumer price index, I mean, at the highest level in what, 40 years?
Yep, since 1982.
So crazy, a lot going on. And then this morning, in addition to all of this, we're getting some news from China. Did you see what's happening there?
I did. They placed 17.5 million residents of the southern city of Shenzhen into lockdown for at least a week to combat a new surgence of COVID-19 infections. But this is the country's tech sector. So you're seeing like Foxconn halted its operations for at least a week, I believe.
Yeah, and we see some Chinese stocks this morning and pre-market trading reacting to this. So we have Baba, which right now in pre-market trading is down 6.6%. We also have JD.com. So JD also down here this morning, 7.9%. I mean, we kind of thought that we are out of the woods when it comes to all the COVID variants. But it still seems to be an issue in China. China also said that they will implement a zero COVID policy. So they want to have zero cases of COVID. I don't know how that's going to work. I think that COVID is just part of our lives right now.
At this point, yes.
It's really interesting. I mean, here in New York City, really, at every single corner, there's free COVID testing. I mean, it's crazy. I haven't seen anything like this in Austin. So it's kind of new to me.
Sure.
All right. Let's see. Let's take a look at some pre-market trading here of what's going on. And we just talked about it. Super, super nervous. So futures markets don't know yet what to think. I mean, they started positive yesterday as we started trading again, dipped into negative territory. But then we were looking at a green start this morning at a higher opening. But then really just a couple of hours ago, we had this slide in the NASDAQ based on really not really any significant news. It just all of the stuff that is going on right now, just this nervousness.
Sure. And Marcus, you mentioned crude oil and crude oil hitting 14-year highs last week and pulling back a little bit today, down 0.4%. I also saw that Occidental and Chevron, they were moving part of this because of the price of crude oil, I'm sure. But also here you have Oxy up. They were downgraded to equal weight from overweight at Morgan Stanley. So the Morgan Stanley had said that they have both outperformed peers in recent months and now offer less attractive valuations based on other, companies. So Occidental's down, Chevron also down a little bit pre-market.
Yeah, I just want to stay on Oxy because, I mean, Warren Buffett took a huge stake in Oxy and just recently, last week, I think, added some more into this. So he was buying Oxy right there in the beginning of March. I think it was like a $5 billion position or something like this. And then he was adding on last week.
Interesting. I mean, after this type of run, I'm kind of surprised because, I mean, just at there, you think of Warren Buffett buying on dips, right? Buying at lows.
Well, plus the other thing is he has a super long-term perspective. I mean, he's not trying to right now take advantage of a quick run up. So he really has a long-term bullish perspective or must have a long-term bullish perspective on Oxy. I don't know. We'll see. Because with crude oil, you just mentioned it, we talked about it. Whenever we see this parabolic moves, when it moves that high up, I mean, this is where we saw right now a pretty good retracement. If we are measuring this from the high of 130 to where we were this morning, this is a 20% drop that we saw last week. And crude oil last week had its first losing week in quite a while, right? I'm bringing up a weekly chart here so that we can take a look at this. But yeah, crude oil just had a bunch of winning weeks last week. First losing week that we saw here.
You mentioned Warren Buffett, and I saw that Berkshire Hathaway, they have a shareholder vote, and the company is urging the rejection of four shareholder proposals, but one was including the replacement of Warren Warren Buffett as chairman.
Can you imagine Berkshire Hathaway without Buffett? I mean, he's now what? Isn't he in his 90s already?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it Charlie Munger? I think Warren Buffett is also in his 90s.
I think he's right behind Charlie Munger, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, I'm not slowing down. You have to drag me out of this chair. So sure. We'll see what's happening there. So a lot going on. We'll see what's happening this week. We also today have Pi Day. Did you know this? 3/14.
Well, day at MIT. You know, I didn't, but have you seen how expensive pies are in the Bahamas?
No.
I guess it's just the Pirates of the Caribbean. Sorry. I had to do it. Now tell me about Pi Day.
All right. Okay. One more news. We also had Chicago dyeing the river green again yesterday. And nobody was expecting this because the mayor basically said, well, because of COVID and everything, we want to do social distancing. So we don't do the river dyeing for St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up. But then they did it, and apparently it looked gorgeous here. So, I don't know. I miss that. And I'm okay with this. All right. Well, so there's a lot going on this week, and we'll definitely have some fun trading. We'll get ready for trading here right now. And if you would like to know how we trade these crazy markets, take a look at these videos that we have popping up for you. I'm planning to do a quick coffee with Marcus this afternoon because there were quite a few questions about how do you roll options when you're trading the wheel strategy. So tune in this afternoon and then we'll see you again tomorrow morning in our stock market update.
Happy trading, everybody.